listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Welcome to your Thursday evening HIV Hour show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. We are really proud to be sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies, and we are funded by the Brighton Rainbow Fund. I am such a lucky man because today joining me on Zoom is the lovely Sue Hunter. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Oh, I love that introduction, David.
I'm very lucky. So our other presenters are busily doing things. I know Stephen's just rehearsing for his show, and Josh is busy sorting out some interviews that are coming up soon. Philip's busy doing what Philip does.
I think Philip's away, having a little trip away.
He does do travel a lot. So hello from all of us, whether we're here or not. We've got a great show for you lined up this evening. And because it's October, it's in the UK, it happens to be Black History Month. So we've chosen some songs. So you've just heard Respects by the fantastic Aretha Franklin. And that really does get my sort of toes tapping and hands clapping, doesn't it? Yeah. You've got a fantastic interview lined up, haven't you? Tell us more about that too.
Yes. Shall I speak a bit now about it, or shall I hang on? Shall I keep everyone happy?
Should we introduce it and we'll have it now, shall we?
Okay. Right, okay. So this is a wonderful lady called Louise. I know her very well. I do a lot of work with her, and she's a very powerful lady. And when I approached her to do something for Black History, I said, we're doing a show for Black History. And I know your story is going to be, you know, talking about your story, your journey and everything else. And do you know what she said to me, David?
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'd love to do that, Sue, but I don't really want to talk about Black History.
Right.
There is something controversial. Mm. What she actually said, I don't want to talk about what I think about Black History. She's very clever, because as we're talking and chatting, she obviously brings it up in a quite a different way. It was a very controversial, you know, when she said, I don't really want to talk about Black History, I don't want to have to explain. And I suppose that's another, you know, why are we celebrating Black History? Some people, it's like, why do we still celebrate Pride? Why do we, all those other things? Everyone's got different opinions. But she is an amazing lady, as in another powerful lady we've had on the show in the last month, isn't it? Talks about her journey with HIV and how she's changed her life around. By getting that diagnosis, and even goes even further before her diagnosis as well, on how she's literally turned her life around. This is not the only interview we're going to hear from this girl, because she does so much in the community with other, with health and health and well-being and mental health. And you'll hear some of that within her interview.
Inspirational. I know. I mean, THT have done it. Did the campaign, which, you know, her story just reminds me of the campaign. It's when I found out I was HIV positive, my life really changed.
Yes.
So it's obviously sometimes getting a diagnosis of
yes,
like we're learning that we're living with HIV can be a real catalyst for changing things. So let's, without further ado, let us have the interview with Sue and Louise.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Out on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area, .com online, and you can always search for our amazing famous podcast. Today we have another amazing person. I was going to fib and say in the studio. We're actually pre-recording this one because Louise couldn't get into the studio today. So I'd like to introduce Louise.
Hello.
Evening, Louise. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show.
And
Happy
I
to
was
be here.
just thinking, the last time we actually saw each other was at the stigma. It was a stigma day in Brighton, and you had done an amazing. Do you remember
Any excuse to get down to Brighton, I just
that?
love it. Yeah, it was a really lovely day, actually. Yeah, I enjoyed
Yeah.
that.
And it was such a, there was loads of people that turned up. It was the second year we'd done it, and you, as I say, you'd done a trailblazing speech as always.
Oh,
So
thank you.
I would just like to introduce you to the HIV Hour. This is the first official interview you've done, and I'm sure that it'll be one of many others for the future. But just tell us just a bit about yourself, Louise, and the amazing things
Oh.
you do and are doing.
Yeah, I mean, I am a woman living with HIV. I've been living with HIV for a number of years. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I forget how long. I've got to actually calculate it. I think I calculated it yesterday. I think it's like 17 years now, which I don't know. In some ways, it feels like a long time. In other ways, not, because 10 of those years, I was hidden. I was, wrapped with shame and embarrassment and internalized stigma. So I was not vocal at all. I was very quiet. But over the last few years, now I'm proud and I'm kind of, it just really helps me, to be honest, and who the person I was all those years ago when I'm doing my advocacy work. Yeah, that's a little bit about me.
One thing that immediately comes to mind, Louise, you said you hidden you mentioned something about a secret. Tell us what do you mean a secret? What do you mean you kept a secret?
Well, look, ultimately, I'm ex-Catholic, okay? And I went to a convent school,
Ooh,
went
ooh.
to church every Sunday. And this is as a child, as a young child. So I felt just like really, really, I just couldn't comprehend. I thought that HIV discriminated. I thought it discriminated to people who did not look like me. I didn't think, because I just didn't think it just did not register on my radar at all. So when I found out I had HIV, I just didn't know what to do. And that time, the only thing I could do was just keep stum, keep quiet, don't say nothing. And I did that for many, many years. My biggest fear was my children finding out. And I've got three children, they were young. It's hard enough being, Black child within the education system. And then, I mean, I was a governor their school, actually. Part of the reason I wanted to be a governor is because I thought to myself, I've got two boys and two Black boys, and I need to understand this system. I need to understand how school works. I had never been a mother of boys, and I've been a mother before. I don't know how education works. I mean, my education. I didn't have a great time. I didn't realize I was dyslexic until late in life. So I felt a huge sense of what's the word? Like, I wanted to keep them safe. I wanted to keep my boy. I wasn't too worried about my daughter as much, mainly because I could relate to her a little bit more. But boys, I just wanted to make sure that they were as safe, and for them to be safe, I wanted to understand the system. So, I was a school governor. My children were doing really well at school, all three of them. And I was divorced. And I just didn't want to, the way that I saw it, ruin their childhood. I just didn't want to. I just couldn't see. So therefore, I thought to myself, how can I tell other people and not my own children? I just didn't know how I could do that. Because the worst possible thing would be that they find out through somewhere else or someone
Like a
else.
third party or something.
Third, yeah, absolutely. So I just didn't say, and to be honest, it was because of them more than anything. I just wanted to keep them safe. You know, I didn't want them to feel the judgment or the shame or the embarrassment or any of that that I was feeling. That's why I kept quiet. But
How
when
do
I
you,
eventually,
I'm just thinking, Louise, had you known much about HIV before your diagnosis?
no, I just
No?
saw what was on the 80s, Freddie
That's it.
Mercury, people in Africa, and that advert about
Don't have
if you have sex.
ignorance. Oh,
If you have
yeah.
sex with a man, if you're gay, you'll die. That's all I saw.
That's
That
it.
was in the 1980s. And I
Yeah.
remember looking at it thinking, wow, I'm so glad that's not me. I'm like, that's awful.
Yeah.
Imagine having
Yeah.
sex and you die. Oh my God. That's just awful. That's so far away from me. You know, like at the moment where you look at what's happening in Ukraine, or you look
Yes.
at what's happening in like the Gaza and that, and Palestine, and you think to yourself, that's so far away from me. That's just awful. That is how I felt when I saw those adverts. That's so far away from me. That would never happen. But that must be awful to make love with somebody or have sex with someone and then you die of AIDS. And it's not like a quick one. It's just a slow. That's what I thought.
Yeah, great comparison there, Louise, because we so often think, we feel sometimes, with information we get or what we get told what we should be believe, and we get that sense of, oh, that's awful, but I feel okay not
Yeah.
knowing everything. But I do get that,
Yeah. Yeah, but
absolutely.
I didn't see any advert. I didn't see
No.
no publicity, no information about women and HIV. I didn't see them. I didn't
I didn't.
see no black British Caribbean women with HIV. I didn't
Yeah.
see no white women with HIV. All I saw was white gay men. That's all I saw. So I didn't think about that.
No. And why would we have, and I'll ditto on quite a lot of the stuff you've said. And why should we think about anything else if we're in that zone of that's what we're getting fed, whether it was media or newspapers back then, because we didn't have the media back in the 80s. And yeah, absolutely. So it was a bit of a shock then, Louise, would you say?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I went indoors and I started writing, not writing, checking my will, to make sure
Did
that my
you?
kids were going to be like taken care of. I checked my will. I was, had to make sure that they were all right. And the worst thing for me was that I had like private insurance. And when I looked at the insurance policy and it said, you get £100,000, if and I rang them up and I said, look, I just found out I've got HIV. I looked at the small print, it says 100K, 100,000K. They said, no, sorry, we don't cover HIV. So obvious that made me feel even worse. So I went even more underground. I've got the insurance company, as far as I was concerned, saying to me, you're not good enough. What you've got is so bad, we're not even going to cover you. That's how I felt. So it just
And
compounded.
reinstated, I suppose, to you how awful it was, that how it made you feel as well. Gosh.
Not good.
So obviously you came to you came as came out. Is that the word to say you came out about your status and with your family and the aftermath? So what happened
I mean,
there?
I came out. I mean, yeah, I told my sister. My sister was the, I say I told no one, but I told my sister. She was the only person. I said, don't tell mom, don't tell dad, don't tell no one. And she didn't, it was just my sister. But, and she wouldn't tell the kids. So if I thought, if I knew if I told one person, which was my sister, it wouldn't go anywhere. So I decided I wanted to tell my children. I told my daughter, and she just flung her arms around me. And we're both crying, and she said, "What is? Why didn't you tell me? I wish you told me. Are you okay? Are you safe? I wish you told me. Are you okay? Are you safe? I wish you told me. You're not going to die, are you? I wish you, repeat, repeat, repeat." And it was just wonderful. I had a huge sense of relief. And then when I told my two sons, they just said, "It's not that deep. It's not that deep, Mum. Like Because I'm like, I've got something to tell you, you know. We need
Yeah.
to all go out for dinner. You need to be home at a certain time. I've got something to tell you. And it's like, what is it, you know? And I remember we were in the car and I was driving them. I think we were going to go home. I said, right, when we get home, you know, I said, I've told your sister, but I need to tell the two of you. When we get home, I'll tell you. I said, Mum, just tell us, what is it? And then I told them. And I said, well, that's not debt deep. You know, and then I thought, can I swear on the radio?
Well, you
So I thought, F's sake, I thought flipping hell. You know, I thought all that being scared and scared about what my children would say and scared about what people would say and scared. Then I realized it wasn't anyone else, it was just me. I didn't want to see that I had HIV. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to know about it. I didn't want to go to any community groups. I didn't want to go to no help groups. I didn't want no help. I didn't want nothing. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't want it to exist. But when I took, you know, my friends were the same. Everyone's been amazing. Like, everyone's been really absolutely fantastic. You know, but I had to be ready for that. So I'm a, you know, I assess risk. And the risk was that my children would disown me, my friends will think, you know, like I'm a slapper, my you know, a workplace will be gossiping about me. And I thought, well, can I handle that? And then I said to myself, yes, you can, because what is the alternative, Louise? The alternative is that you carry on hiding, locking up your medication, locking up who you are, being ashamed of who you are, you know, living in a space of consistent fear. That is the alternative. So either I carry on living like that, or I get myself ready for huge rejection and stigma and hate mail and talking about you, and my kids saying I'm embarrassed. None of that happened. It was all in my head. But if any of that happened, if anybody kind of, you know, said something negative or rejected me, I was ready for that because I decided that I want to live free. I can't live like that. I had to be ready. I said to myself, like, if I go to a doctor or a dentist or I go someone, someone finds out that, you know, and they treat you a certain way, you have to be ready for that. So I prepare. I done a lot of prep work. It didn't happen. I was in counseling. I also had a coach, and that's why I'm now a coach. I went to a coach first because I wanted to start looking after myself. So, you know, I was on like you know, 20 silver. Well, it was silk cup. Purple, then I went down to silver. You know, a bottle or two of Chardonnay, glug, 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 you know, get that down my neck. And so I was, you know, drinking alcohol, smoking heavily. I've never been to the gym, never worked out, you know, eating loads of nice food. You know, I love
Nice
food.
food, yeah.
And actually, a couple of things happened, you know. Why I decided to get a coat because I had found out I had gout, and yeah, and that's something that I don't see many people talk about. I only see, you know, a certain section of society that maybe have it. I just didn't
I know. I'm
see myself,
the
you know,
same.
teeth, you know, colic, you know. And I thought, bloody hell, am I like, am I borderline alcoholic? I've got this gout. But then I found out the gout is, you know, in the olden days they called it, you know, a rich man's disease because it's such a diet, a rich diet of a lot of red meat, a lot of dairy, all that kind of stuff. So I was getting on a bit in age, and I sat there with fag in my mouth, glass of, I think I was on Prosecco at that time, and I thought to myself, I've got the gout, you know, I cannot, have another gout episode. I mean, it just sent me over the edge. It was the most painful.
Oh.
Tell you how painful it was. It was so painful. And I thought to myself, taking these HIV medication, if I carry on drinking the way I am, I'm going to have to be having these gout episodes, just come on, my toe get really swollen. That's what would happen. I couldn't put a shoe on, couldn't put a sock on, I could not touch my big toe. It was so
Wow.
painful. And I thought, if I carry on drinking and carry on eating the way that I do, I will continue to have gout. If I carry on drinking and smoking and eating the way that I do, maybe blood pressure, maybe cholesterol, maybe diabetes. And I've got to take these bleeding HIV medication for my whole life. So am I going to also take medication for diabetes, cholesterol, gout, and whatever else, high blood pressure? So I thought, I've got to do something. So I decided to go to the gym. So I've never been to the gym. But the first time I turned up, I had a cup of coffee, in my hand, as I sat on the rowing machine, because I had a personal trainer.
Wait.
So I'm on the personal trainer, and every 2 minutes, seconds, I have a swig of coffee because it was too early. So, oh my God, I need to get up. Oh, I'm tired. Because normally I have a lot of drinking the night before, and then I can't wake up until 10 minutes before I've got to get to work, So getting up early in the morning, I had the personal, like I say, personal trainer. And so he really helped me. So I started going to the gym, I stopped the coffee, and I got really fit for having this personal trainer. And then after that, I got a coach. And then the coach helped me with my routine, And through having this coach, I felt I was able to let go of the alcohol and the fags. And then I thought, well, I feel great. I'm not smoking and I'm not drinking. I'm going to become pescatarian, which is basically just fish. So I'm not going to have any kind of meat in my diet. I'm just going to have fish and dairy. The only thing I wouldn't have was like chicken and meat. So I'd done that for about a year. And then one day I watched a program. It was on Netflix called What the Health or Knives, one of those. And I watched it and I thought, I'm going vegan. So I always wanted to go vegan, but when I watched that program and they talked about the link with diabetes and, they had case studies of people who reverse diabetes. Don't get me wrong, Sue, I did not have diabetes, but the way that I was going,
Oh, well, you could have
it's
ended up.
something that I could have, and I didn't want to get to that level, and I wanted to stop it before something happened. So I went vegan. I want to say plant-based now. So I started following a plant-based diet, and that was about 7 years ago. And then so I felt great. I've never since I went on a plant-based diet and I started looking after myself and I got a coach and I changed my whole lifestyle and I packed in the booze. I've never had another episode of gout ever. Never had another episode and I've never felt better. In fact, my CD4 went the last time I had a test, it went up to 1,300, I feel great. And I'm a yoga teacher, so I teach yoga. So I do the whole body, mind, and soul. And I coach people to reach their goals, like what I need, which is what helped me to get to where I need to get to. And what I understood was that what stopped me from getting a coach, what stopped me from going to the gym, what stopped me to stop the fags and the booze, what stopped me from having a healthier lifestyle, what stopped me from getting a man, or a person that would love me, what stopped me from doing all those things was me. Because once I decided I needed help and I wanted help and I wanted to do it, oh, the help was there. The help was there. So, even if you can't afford a coach, even if you can't afford, yoga classes, even if you can't afford all these things, you can go on YouTube, You can go to different, there are lots of different ways that you can get these services for free. For me, I paid because I was in a position that I was able to afford it and I was able to pay for it. So I did. But I am saying that there are resources out there for free if you're ready, but you have to be ready. And I would say, you know, I started smoking when I was 12 years old at the back of the bus, you know? So it took me a long time. I was in my 40s, I think, you know, when I, you know, late 40s, when I properly packed it in. But it took a long time and I tried and tried and tried. And the only thing that worked for me was that accountability. And that's why now I'm an intersectional wellness coach. And the reason it's intersectional, because the different layers. I'm a black person. I'm a woman. Single, you know, I've experienced domestic abuse. I've experienced sexual abuse as a child. I've experienced, you know, the layers go on and on and on. And the cherry on the top is the old HIV, you know? So when you look at all those, you know, layers, you know, intersectionality of life, I want people to know that, you know, I'm, you know, I particularly have a soft spot, if you like, for the queer community, the LGBTQ community. And the reason for that is because of the feeling different, you know. I mean, I often talk about the fact that I didn't get diagnosed with dyslexia until I was in my 40s, but up until then I hid the fact that I found it difficult to you know, digest things, you know, because dyslexia isn't just about reading and writing, it's the way that your mind's set up, you know what I mean? It's the way in which my memory works. It's a lot of things. I've got little quirks, and I always felt different from a very, very young age. And then when I get on, you know, went into school, I was the only black woman, child, sorry, in the whole school. Me, my brother, and my sister were the only black students. There was not one of us. So always felt different from a child. And then growing up, and then, you know, HIV, you know, there I am again, that difference, the oddness, the you know, having to wanting to into society, but worried that society won't accept me if they knew that, if they could see who I was and what I was, and the, you know, so that's why I become an intersectional wellness coach. That's why I teach yoga. That's why I teach people how to cook vegan recipes if they're so interested. That's why I'm kind of going onto the streets and talk to people about HIV. That's why I
Dina.
have a podcast where I talk to people from all over the world about their story. I do all those things because of who I was. Because I'll tell you what, so I'm going to stop now because I know I love to chat. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of being different. I'm tired of it. And now I've stopped trying to fit in to society's expectations or norms of how I should look, how I should feel, what I should do. I will tell you here and now, I have found freedom. I am free. I am free. I am free. I got married last year, really nice geezer. Saw me
Whoa.
I am. When we met, it was all going well. And I remember we're sitting down and I said to him, oh, by the way, this is on the first date. I said, by the way, got HIV, but I can't pass it on. But what about you? Have you got anything that I need to know about? Because I know that we can have unprotected sex and I cannot pass anything on to you, in particular HIV or anything else. But what about you? Have you been tested for anything? And
Good
his
for
head
you.
just spun. This was in the middle of the date. We had a wonderful time. Anyway, ended up marrying the geezer. Love
Hey,
of my life, second time round.
good for you.
Yeah.
Wow,
So when I
lovely.
say that, but I so I would not have been in that position if I hadn't done the work. And it was a lot of work. Work is called work. Work can be fun. Work can be rewarding, but work can also be quite hard and difficult. If you've got a job that you go to, either you like it, you don't like it, you get days that you get up in the morning and you want to run to work, you've got days when you're tired and you're calling sick, but it's work and it's a means to the end. And what you get at the end of work is either you get money, you get a community, or you get a sense of satisfaction. When you work on yourself, you get the same thing. I've been working on myself for a very, very long time, and I am free. Now, I will say to you one last thing. It doesn't stop. I still get days where I feel shame. I still, but I notice it this time. That's the difference. Whereas before, I would have maybe imposter syndrome, or I'd feel, oh my God, I'm not good enough, or whatever. And it would consume me. Now I just notice it. Oh, there you are. It's okay. It's okay. I'm that. It's I can see you, shame. I can see you, but you just stay there for now. You can come in, you can have a cup of tea, but you're not sitting down,
That's it. Yeah,
right?
stay for a while, but I'm in
But you,
control.
I'm in control here, and all that. So, took time, but. Continues is what I'm trying to say. I don't believe there's no such word as perfect. I think every single one of us are perfect. Everybody, the way they are. So, what I am saying is it's an ongoing process. It's ongoing. And I'm starting to enjoy the work. So I enjoy learning about myself. I enjoy learning when I feel sad. I'm starting to really embrace that word, sadness.
And
You know, life is about
reaping the
sadness.
benefits as well, Louise, for all the hard work you've put in with
Yeah.
yourself and throughout, I mean, what a
Yeah.
journey. I mean, you've literally, and I'm sure our listeners can see, hear that you've literally turned your life around.
Well, I would say I have. And I think one of the biggest things, you know, we are human beings and we all want to you know, connect. Most of us would like to connect with people that are kind.
Yeah,
You want to
absolutely.
connect with someone that treats you well. You want to connect with someone that doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, doesn't all the rest. You know, you can
All of
go
that,
on and on and on. Someone that's honest, someone that loves me. You know, all
yeah.
that. I think once you learn to do that for yourself, that's that. That is the joy. And you see, this is the decision I made. I can carry on buying designer handbags, the Chanel, this, that, Prada, Gucci, all the rest of it. I can carry on doing that. I can carry on traveling around the world and going to different places and eating all nice stuff, right? Carry on doing that. Or I can take some of that money and invest in me. So I took some of that money and I got myself a coach. I took some of that money and I taught myself and I committed to yoga. I took some of that money and I got a TT, a personal trainer in the gym. I took some of that money and I got a good gym. I didn't get the gym that I think, oh, flipping hell, bloody hell, I don't like this. I got a gym that was really nice, that played really nice music. So what I'm saying is I took that money that I would invest going on holiday and I invested it in myself and I decided to go on a journey within. And seen what I could find. And all of that work was supported by the best ever therapist. And my therapist, actually, I'm going to shout him out. Should I say his
Go
name?
on, go on,
What's his
shout
name?
now.
His name is, hold on, Patrick Remmer. Remmer, Renner, Remmer. He is queer. Does he say? Yeah, anyway, yeah. He's a queer therapist. And he's just the best. You know, he is just amazing and he's the one that kind of held me as I went. Could I say something? I actually speak to him a lot about, was never about HIV. It was about my relationship. It was about my relationships at work, my relationships with my kids, my relationships with my family, my relationships with a potential other. And understanding those relationships helped me understand me. It helped me understand me. So, some people don't get on with therapy, and that's fine. I think if you find the right one, some people prefer coaching because they don't want to keep looking back. They just want to go forward, and that's fine. And that's how I started off. But that, I just want to say one last time that it's a journey. You know, Sue, you know, that I don't believe in no end. You know, there's no happily ever, oh, I've married this sexy man, and he is hot and sexy, you know. I've married him. He makes me laugh. He makes me laugh. We laugh all the way, you know. We laugh all the time. We've got similar interests. We've got the same interests. He's
Brilliant.
vegan. I'm vegan. He's a yoga teacher. I'm a yoga teacher. He likes nature. I like nature. You know, we both like doing the same things, and we feel really, really comfortable. The
That's
happy
great.
ever after, there's no happy ever after. He still gets on my nerves sometimes, and I still get on his nerves. And we have to work on it. We have to work. We have to put in the work. And there are still days where I think I'm not in, and I have to put in the work. And there's still days that, you know, there's lots of stuff that happens. There's no ending. But the work is a lot more enjoyable. It's not scary anymore. It's not scary anymore because I put support around me to help me get through the work. So the 10 years that I never told anyone, I was in a very lonely, frightened, scared, depressed, anxious. I wasn't diagnosed as depression anxious because in those days you just stiff upper lip,
That's right,
right?
yeah. Remember?
Stiff upper lip. I would say I had untold trauma in them days. It weren't stiff drink will help you know. Hot cup of tea, the sweet tea makes everything right. So, you know, but I had 10 years of, you know, real low points, and I'm now coming out of that, and will continue to come out of it, and will continue to work.
Louise, if we had another half an hour, we could go on and on. But what I would like to do before we finish, two things. Number one, I mean, we'll put it on the website as well, but do you want to give your what you're doing a shout out? Is it the loot? I'm just seeing,
Okay, so my website is
your
called
website.
Auntie Lou's House. So Auntie is spelled AUNTY, Auntie Lou, LOUS, House, HOUSE. So it's Auntie Lou's House. I'm on Instagram, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn as Louise Vallis. That's my government name, Louise Vallis. And yeah, that's me.
And the
If you want to
second
get in
thing,
touch,
yeah, no, brilliant. Honestly, come on again, and it's been brilliant. But what I'd like to end on is you've chosen a song. And we always like to know why you've chosen that song. We're going to play it at the end of your interview. But tell us about the song by, is it Bob Vylan? Vylan?
Villain.
Villain.
So there's a new, I say new, but there's a punk kind of rock group. They're black, and yeah, I just love their music. I adore their music, and I love going to their concerts. And and dancing is good. That's another way to release, and I'm always dancing to their music. It makes me feel like I'm really punk rock. Do you know what I mean?
I
I was
remember the
brought up
punk rock days, Louise. Very
yeah.
vividly, very vividly. Louise, it is. I mean, I know you very well, and I know the listeners are going to say, wow, what a girl. Wow, what a woman. We've got to get her back on, and we will do. You've got so much else, so much more to say, and what you're doing within the community. You know, I would take my pride hat off to you in an instant. I want to say thank you from the HIV Hour, everyone here. And we want to wish you well. And we want to ask you to come back again, you know, and thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, thank you so much, Sue. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, I mean, what did you think of our interview, David?
Oh, isn't she inspirational? She really is, isn't she? And I remember hearing her at the Zero HIV Stigma Day we had in Brighton.
Yes.
And
Yes.
I'll tell you what, we'll see if we can. We recorded it on the day, so that was a
We
bit of a
did,
wind,
didn't
bit
we?
windy.
Yes.
But I'll see if we can lift that speech from the recording. We'll maybe put it on our website so people can hear
That'd
her
be
story, because she
brilliant.
did it
Yes.
very cleverly. She sort of did it as like a
She
once upon a
was
time
very
story.
clever, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
Yes.
But to be a life coach and to help other people make change,
Right. Exactly.
and
Yeah.
I think we learn from people who have been on similar journeys to ourselves, don't we? Or come
Yes.
from. She talks about intersectionalities and about how
She
being
does.
single, about being black, about being actually
Yeah.
positive, being
Yeah.
a single mother,
Yeah.
and a lot of other people, will put themselves down for being any of those things, but
Yes.
it actually gives you strength if you own it. And she said she didn't want to face being actually positive. It's only when she decided that she would that then she started to make the changes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. It was her that was holding herself back, not other people.
Yeah, her inner
Yeah,
self, wasn't
yeah,
it?
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what stigma does, though, isn't it?
No, I know. It's internal stigma, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And I've recently become aware. So you and I and Josh and Stephen,
Yeah.
we're all in the More to Me Than HIV
Yes.
exhibition. And I'm
Yeah.
and but I've been aware recently, because I've been in contact with some of the other participants, that stigma still affects us, even if we're sort of out and proud. It's
Yeah,
I've
yeah.
yeah.
It's that is quite a good thing you've said that, because I mean, I think you've been living longer than me, David, haven't you? And even after nearly 19 years, the assumption is we should have got used to it and we should be okay about it. But you know what? Sometimes feelings and emotions arise from different places at different
Yes,
times of our life, you know, and they can. And we can, you know, I've still been, you know, addressed with stigma by certain things, even to this day. But okay, I can maybe handle them better. But that doesn't mean to say I just sort of go away and get on with things. No, it does affect me emotionally
Yeah, we
and
still have to
mentally. And
face
I
it,
have
don't
to,
we?
yeah, we're still, the thing is, we're still flesh and blood, we're human beings. And some, you know, some of the stigma does still hurt even after all these years. And I'm sure you think the same, David, of all, after all these years of living with HIV. But that doesn't give it an excuse for people to think and say, well, oh, well, you should be used to it. But that's a word. Oh, well, you should be used to all of that by now. That isn't the answer. That isn't the answer. You understand what I'm saying, don't you,
Yes, I
David?
do. Yes, I do. I mean, we
Yeah.
had someone. Well, we're going to cover this in a future episode, aren't we?
Yeah.
But somebody recently suffered stigma from a high street chain of shops that was
Yes.
I found amazing. I was just like, can't believe they said that. But yeah, they treated him differently because he was HIV positive. But we will cover that later, because we need to
We
do some
certainly will. That's a
bit of
hot on the
research on
agenda.
this. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
absolutely. Yes,
stay tuned,
absolutely.
listeners.
Stay tuned. But yes, that's going to be a biggie.
Shall we have another quick song, and shall we talk about some of what things we've been up to? Shall we?
Yeah,
Yeah.
sure.
What should we have? I know. Oh, yeah, good. So, yeah, so this is Moving On Up by
Okay.
M People, sung by Heather Small. Oh, what a great song. You are listening to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb, and that's 97.2 FM in the Brighton area. And on DAB Plus Radio. Don't forget, listeners, we do love hearing from you, and it's your suggestions and ideas really do help us shape the show and make sure that it's for people living with HIV, by people living with HIV, or affected by HIV as well. So you can email us on info@hivhour.org.uk, and our website is HIVhour.org.uk, and we also have Facebook profiles and X profiles and other things like that. But you can all see that on our website, and you can download our fantastic podcasts, which are all listed on the website as well. You can see pictures of yours truly and yours dearly. Get in touch. We love hearing from you.
And I'm just thinking, I'm sorry, David, I'm just thinking also just to add on to that amazing stuff you've just said, and maybe there may be someone listening to the show thinking, oh, I'd like to share my story, I'd like to share my journey. Please do contact us. We'd love to hear about it, love to air it and talk and chat to you about it. So yeah.
Yes, we do, because we learn a lot from each other, don't we? And that's some of the,
Mm.
we're all share living with HIV or being affected by HIV in common, but there's some of the
Yeah.
most valuable information we can get is not from clinicians, but from each other.
Yeah.
It's about how to live with HIV, how to live well, how to live within
Absolutely.
our communities. And I think people's stories, we're human. We're all very different. We've got lots of things in common, but we've all got unique viewpoints and experiences that I think are so valuable. It's part of our common wealth as a patient group. So, speaking about that, what have you been up to recently in your work? Because you obviously you work in the HIV sector, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I mean, it's just I always say from year to year, David, I'm gonna not work any less because I love what I do, but maybe sort of just take a few more deep breaths. But I never seem to have been able to do that because, I get my teeth into something, David, and I follow it through, as in the work, the prevention, the education, the interviews and all the other stuff I do with, obviously, the work I do with the Terence Higgins Trust. Obviously, we're getting ready to running up to World AIDS Day and, doing some amazing pieces of work with lots of corporate companies who want to get involved with us and celebrate and commemorate, which is always very, very exciting. We had here's the one, David. We had the British Library get in contact with us.
Yeah,
We're
with THD, yeah.
the British Library in
Yeah.
London. So we'll
All right.
be doing something in London with the British, the British
Right.
Library.
So
So
what do they
there's
want to
always these
know?
new people coming in
Yeah.
want to recognize World AIDS Day
Oh,
with us, and
right. Oh,
that's so
fantastic. Good.
exciting, so we're going to be doing something for World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
And
Great.
but yeah, just really busy. And I've got my little grandson. I've told you I've got a grandson, haven't I, David?
Yes,
And
congratulations.
he's, talk about the new light of your life. And those are the most important things, aren't they, David? And every time my sister goes past my house to go, she's gone, joined to her, she belongs to a health club, and he goes swimming. And every time they go past my house, he's waving at he's only 50 months, and he's shouting, "Nanny." I mean, if that doesn't break your heart and thinking, this is what we fight and strive for, for our loved ones and our friends and our family. So yeah, no, he's just, he's talking more, and so that takes up a large part of my after work life,
Of course it
as one
does. Of
would
course it
say.
does.
So
Yeah,
how
yeah.
about yourself? What have you been up to?
I'm good. So yes, yeah, so I've been busy. When we were both at a meeting with Josh on Monday, wasn't it? It was the World AIDS Day Partnership meeting.
Oh,
So we've only got a couple of months to go till World AIDS Day itself in Brighton, and as you would expect, a city like Brighton and Hove has a lot to remember and commemorate about. HIV, and so there is a yes. Yeah, so something we'd like to do is that one. So the HIV, sorry, the World AIDS Day Partnership is a partnership of the council and the hospitals and the charities like Terence Higgins Trust and community groups like the AIDS Memorial Project and More to Me Than HIV, Lunch Positive, the Sussex Beacon, and apologies if I've left anybody else out, Frontline AIDS, obviously the council, as I mentioned. And so we put on what's called the Candlelight Vigil, but we also support and promote the other World AIDS Day events that happen across the city. So I know Lunch Positive are having a community lunch on Sunday, December the 1st at Dorset Gardens Methodist Church, which is where they normally have their meals. I think there'll be a service of remembrance and hope at some point on the day. The details have yet to be finalized, but watch this space, listeners. We're encouraging as many buildings as possible that have the ability to do so to turn themselves red.
Light up, get them to
Light up
life.
red. So places like the I-360, the town halls, and other such buildings. I think we're currently talking to the Pavilion Estates as
We
well.
are,
So light up the their buildings red for World AIDS Day, just to, because I think the ball's been dropped in recent years, I think, because people not involved in HIV day to day like we are, they sort of think that now there's treatment, that it's no
Yeah.
longer as not as important as it used to be. And it is, it still affects people. It still
Yeah.
affects all communities as we
It
know.
does.
So just to raise, it's not just about commemoration World AIDS Day, but it's about awareness as well, isn't it? So it's now by
Awareness.
lighting buildings light up red, people thinking, why is that building red? That's because it's
Yeah.
December the 1st and it's World AIDS Day. Because it
Yes.
used to be all the news readers and presenters used to wear red ribbons. You don't see that much so much
Exactly.
anymore.
And don't forget, David, I'm sure you know, but just to let our listeners know, round about nearly 39 million people have died over the last 4 decades to HIV and AIDS. So that's a lot of people. That's a lot of
Very.
people commemorate, celebrate, and yeah, so it has to be a day,
Yeah,
you know, it
very, very
has to be
sobering thought, isn't it?
you know, we think, we look to the future, we say, but there's one thing I'm really passionate about, David, is that we never forget the past.
No,
We
no.
forget the past of the ones that we've loved, we've lost and loved, and maybe some of the challenges they went through. And I'm talking about years and years ago, you know, right back to the 80s. And I think it's important that we remember what those people went through, you know, fighting for the rights of people living with HIV, you know, fighting for the medications that were sparsely around back then. And I think it, you know, it has to be in the history books.
Yes, it does. Yeah, we
It
must
has to be in the,
remember.
you know,
And celebrate their lives and what they contributed
absolutely,
to
you know, because
our present,
yeah, because it's empower, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, people that I read about and you know that died many years ago and sort of lost their lives many years ago, it empowers me to do as much as I can for the future generations, like they did for their future generations, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, it does. It does. So, go back to the buildings going red. If you would,
Oh.
if you are a building owner or a business owner, and you would like to turn your building red and have it promoted within the city, you can email Philip Ragg at THT, and his email address is Philip with two L's dot Ragg. That's WRAGG at THT.org.UK, and he can tell you more about it. He's the sort of convener of the World AIDS Day partnership. Speaking of other Terence Higgins Trust initiatives, they've been working with Marie Curie, haven't they, to do a survey to explore the barriers and experiences of palliative and end-of-life care for people living with HIV. And they've got a survey which they would like people to fill in. The closing date for the survey is the 30th of October. It is a quite a long-winded link for the survey. It's online, but we've put a link on our website. So if you go to www.hivhour.org dot UK slash survey. The details and a link will be on that page, and we'll also put some the link to Louise's website and some of her
Yes,
social media
exactly.
profiles. So that's what I've been doing. Oh, also, Josh and I, we were went around town putting out some posters and flyers for the HIV
Oh,
Hour, because obviously we have a new brand
good.
new swanky logo,
Of
don't we?
course,
We're outreaching more with our listeners and our communities. And we popped into the Sussex Beacon shop. They've got two of them, one in London Road, where they do specialise in furniture, and the one in St James's Street, which is more sort of books and clothing. But the one in London Road we went to, and the manager there said, "Oh, please, could we do a shout out for donations, good quality donations, for the Sussex Beacon shops?" That really does help raise essential funds for the Sussex Beacon. And it's they can get some good quality. The bed in my spare room was bought from the Sussex Beacon shop, so you get some good quality stuff in there. And you don't have to break the bank if you're looking for a little present ideas for people
Didn't
for
our
them.
Josh buy a rocking chair
He
then?
did, yeah. He bought a rocking chair, so he'll be off his rocker
Not
probably
going to ask what
now.
he wants it for, but he bought it.
I
I'm not going
know.
to
So we are unfortunately running out of time. Have you got anything? Yeah, we are. So we're going to have to do some more
Wrap it
shows, aren't
up.
we? Yeah.
My
So anyway,
goodness.
thank you ever so much for listening, and thank you ever so much for joining me, Sue. I think we're going to leave with a lovely song called Brown Skin, as we're still celebrating Black History Month. This is Brown Skin by India RE, and we shall see you all very soon. Cheerio!
Take care, everybody. See you soon.